this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. And by the way, that's a great, great habit if you're coming along to church to always bring your Bibles. I know that you can have your Bibles on your phones and devices these days, but it's always good to have a copy of God's Word in written format the way He intended. And so hopefully that's a good habit that you guys have already picked up. Who here, you would classify yourself, you're a church kid, you go to church. Go to church. All right, that's good. Who's in grade 7? Any grade 7s? Grade 7s, the rookies. All right, grade 8? Grade 8s? Grade 8s is they're on top of the food chain, they think, but they're not really. All right, year 8s. Year 9, grade 9, they think that, you know, they've made it, but really they're the juniors of senior high, right? But you have grade 10. Who's in grade 10? Grade 10, you're nearly done. You're not in grade 10, Malachi. Grade 10, you can almost see the finish line. And some of you, you're thinking it's time to check out, but it shouldn't be. Grade 11, you're nearly done. And who's in grade 12? Grade 12? Coop, only one. All right, well, we've got a good group here. And for many years, I took youth was my thing. And I still love to be part of our youth group. And for the last couple of months, I've stepped back into it a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that you're going to learn in the Christian life is that, really in life in general, is that life quickly passes you by. And it just happens quick. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. It's our 25th or 26th leadership conference. And I think I've been to about 20 of them myself. And I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Sydney, as I mentioned. And I travel up here with my pastor. And I used to be where you guys sat. I used to be where I was a young person. And I would sit in the teen sessions. I would be someone that would come along and would be a guest here. And many of you are, but many of you are part of our church. And I would take these times, and sometimes I'd come into the conference time not knowing what God was going to speak to me about, but certainly always coming with a heart of anticipation, with a heart to say, Lord, speak to me. And I hope that would be your attitude today. You know, just because you're in this stage of your life doesn't mean that God won't speak to you. In fact, many times in Scripture, it's your age, it's your stage of life as young people where God can tremendously speak to you and clear some things up or even start to bring you down a certain trajectory. And, you know, in the Christian life, as people in ministry like myself, one of the things that we're called upon is to really to pass some things on to the next generation. And the story that we're going to read is much about that. And we're going to read this and you're going to hear some words that we don't normally hear. All right, we're going to hear the word mantle. And we're going to illustrate that. The word mantle has this idea of an outer garment. And I've brought a sort of an example of that. A mantle in the Bible was a piece of cloth like this that generally for many people they would wear when it's colder weather, like we're having a little bit. Who's not from Queensland? Okay, do you feel like this is warmer than your winter, right, and you're enjoying it? Okay, only in Queensland, just by the way. And we're enjoying that. That's something we loved as we come up here. But some of the things that we've had to do was get rid of clothes because it's not as cold here. So I'm a coat guy. I love coats, and I don't wear them as much. You know, Danny's going to wear one tonight. I've lent him one, all right? Titus is wearing one of my coats this morning, all right? I just was like, guys, come on. You got to dress up. So, but back in those days, they didn't have mass-produced garments. They didn't have, you know, the technology that we have. They didn't have the fashion that we had, but they had simple pieces of clothing like this. This would be considered a piece of clothing. And what they would do was just wrap it around them. When it was cold, they use it. You know, we wear a hoodie. I'm very good at this, you can tell. And they'd wear it like this and sort of cover their normal garments with an outer piece of cloth to warm them up. And you know, when you read through this, we just read that Elijah, if you know the story, Elijah was greatly discouraged, and he finds himself wrapping his mantle around his head like this, and God speaks to him through a still small voice. He encounters a whirlwind, he encounters a fire, he encounters an earthquake, and God wasn't in any of those. He was in a still small voice, but Elijah was feeling a little down on him. So he was feeling himself. And it was feeling like, you know, God was done with him. And yet in that moment, God instructs him some things. And we pick it up, 1 Kings chapter 19. And notice verse 15, he's already spoken to Elijah. He's trying to get Elijah's attention. He'd wrapped his face in his mantle in verse 13. And in verse 15, notice what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And one of the things that we're going to learn about is Elijah is a prophet. And one of the jobs that a prophet has is to anoint the next king. So he's saying, look, Elijah, I'm not quite done with you yet. I've got some things for you to do. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to anoint this fella, Hazael, to be the king over Syria. Then notice he says in verse 16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. So he's saying, I'm going to have you anoint two kings. That's pretty good. Imagine being the kingmaker. Imagine being the guy that God calls upon to enact a new government. He's saying, I want you to anoint them or to choose them out to be the leader, to be the king. But then notice what he says also, and he continues in verse 16, and here's another important name. We're speaking here about Elijah, but then very similarly, he says, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now, this is a little different. He's going to anoint those two kings. He's not a king, so he's really, in effect, appointing someone in another person's position. But now God's speaking to him about his position. God's speaking to him about the fact that he's meant to anoint someone who is going to take his place. And you know, there's many times in life where the reality of it is this: time will pass by, and one person will have to depart the scene, and another person's going to have to take their place. You know, there were many others before me who just were doing what I'm doing this morning. There were others before me who was the pastor of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. There were those before me who were the chosen speakers for this very session, and those who were preaching, and those who were catering, and those who were doing all of that. But that generation did what they were supposed to do for that time. But now Elijah, who had fulfilled the office of a prophet, is being told by God, no, I want you to anoint your successor. I want you to anoint the one who in the next generation will follow after you. And you're going to need to find that as part of your job. And you know, I'm very mindful that if the Lord Jesus doesn't tarry his coming, meaning that if he doesn't wait any longer, there might potentially be another generation that's going to need to serve in my office. There's going to need for someone who God's going to choose out that I'm supposed to train up and I'm supposed to pass some things on. And you know, each generation, the Bible says, passes away, but another one comes. And I want you to understand this morning, young people, that whilst you're in this season of your life now, very quickly it could be your turn. It could be that one of our young men here takes the office of a pastor. It could be that many of you, that ladies, who your mom is involved in some area of the church's ministry or some area that you know they serve in, you're looking at them, and you just don't know how quickly that might be. It'll be your turn. You know, in many ways, I still find myself thinking, wow, am I really this age? Has time really gone that quickly? And Now I've got my own young people, teenagers in the house. I used to be the young person, and that's gone so quickly. And I want to tell you that all of that sometimes isn't in our calculation, in our sort of planning and thinking about our future. Many of you, you're just thinking about, well, I just want to get through this sermon. I wonder how long it's going to go. I just want to get through this day. I just want to get, and you're just living for the now. But you know, God, in God's mind, He's seeking you out. He's trying to see the next. God's always got a plan for what's to come. And part of God's plan is He observes the next generation. And He observes not that He doesn't know you. The Bible tells us that He knew you from your mother's womb. He knows every one of us in who we really are and what we're about. But God also observes because He's seeing the path that you're taking, if you're on the right path to what He intends for you to be. And that's really the picture of the mantle we're gonna look at, because then the Bible continues. He says in verse 17, "It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay." And he's saying that all of this, that some of the struggles that are happening right now, that's going to continue in the next generation. And he says, "And yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And Elijah's argument with God was, where's the faithful? I'm alone and I'm the only one. And God's trying to highlight for him that there's a group there in Israel, 7,000, that still haven't bowed, that still have stayed faithful. And would it be, would to God that there would be a group right here in this room who, if God were to look at and if we were to question, is there any faithful, that there would be another faithful generation? That there would be a group of young people who'd eschew the things of the world and look at the world and go, you know, all of that looks all fine and good and it looks even alluring, but I'm going to say no to that and yes to God. That's really what he was highlighting. That's really what God was highlighting for Elijah. He's saying, go do that. Anoint those two kings and anoint Elisha to take your place, because they're still faithful in the land. And then he goes on in verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shapheth, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." You know what was interesting about the mantle, and often in the Bible, there's certain words that are obscure like that God highlights. And God highlights the mantle as something that signified someone that had a position. It was a common garment of the day. But God so often commented, if you study the word mantle in the Bible, it always seemed to relate to that office of the prophet. And so this was a specific calling. There were other mantles out there, but somehow these prophets were generally recognized by that outer garment that they would wear. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, clothes weren't mass prepared. You couldn't buy the same mantle and it'll be the same pattern. Like, you can't buy, you know, the same shirt that Danny's wearing, right? That's just the one shirt made. And what I'm saying is the mantle was like that. It was just one. It was distinct. People knew when Elijah came through, when another prophet, Samuel, they knew Samuel's mantle. They knew that was the prophet. And so this was something that wasn't just any ordinary thing. No, this was a special calling. And this special calling had to be passed on. It had to be given, and God instructed, you know, pass this thing on. And, you know, part of the job of my generation is supposed to be, we're supposed to be obedient to God in seeking for those who would follow in our place. You know, that's why we have youth group. I'll give you a newsflash. We don't come there to entertain you. We love to have fun. We love to joke around. We love to that you guys laugh and get into it, and it upsets us when you don't like the games and all of that. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, because at the end of the day, we want you to get some things from God. And we want you to get something. We want you to find the will of God. We want you to find the purposes of God. We want you to know the truth of God. We want you to know the God. and we want you to understand who He is, and we want you to get a hold of God, and we want to see you perhaps even take our place one day. But I want to tell you, there's many of you, you don't know it, but you're already seeking different mantles. You're already looking around, and there's a certain idea of who you want to be in the future that you're already thinking of, and even some of you, you're already projecting. And you know, there's a mantle that you're looking for. You don't know it, but you all are. There's a distinct one that you saw in the crowd. You're like, oh, I'd just like to be just like that one. Oh, I just like to be just, oh, look how successful they seem. Look at the cars that they drive. Oh, look at the fashion that she has. And look at the lifestyle. Wow, I'd like to be like that. You know what that is? You're seeking a mantle. You're looking for a mantle. You don't know it yet. You're looking at the pattern of mantles out there, the kind of living people have. And you're aiming for that. But you've got to ask the question, is that what God wants for you? Is that who you should be? Is that actually the mantle you're supposed to take? And you know, Elisha, unknown to him, God was looking at him for a specific mantle. And so the Bible tells us that Elijah is obedient. He goes seeking for Elisha. He finds him. And he finds him, and the Bible says this, he cast his mantle upon him. You know, imagine one day you're just minding your own business, and you're walking around, and you know, maybe you're mowing the lawn or something. And then suddenly someone drives past in a car, and you know, you're driving, you're just minding, you're pushing that mower, and suddenly someone in the car just, like out of nowhere, boom, gets hit with this piece of clothing. That's literally what the Bible says there. He cast his mantle upon. He didn't go, oh, hello, how are you, Elisha? Let me just put that on. No, he came through, and literally as Elijah walked past, God said, that's him. And he went and kept walking. Like out of nowhere. And you know, sometimes that's what God will do. Now you can keep it. You can keep that. That's what God will do. He'll just sort of hit you out of nowhere to try to get your attention because you're just busy living. And maybe you're going to come this week and you're sort of going, yeah, it's just another conference. And then boom. God hits you with his word. Boom. He gets you where you need to get. He picks up something that you're struggling with, and he's trying to get your attention. And maybe he just casts something off to you. And I wonder if you'd just be ready to take that on. The Bible then, he understood that this was something different. And he says in verse 20, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? He's saying, yeah, go ahead. You know, the time is not now, is what he was saying. I'm just trying to get your attention. And you know, there's some things that God might bring to your attention about your future this week that it's not actually for the now. It's just to get you going. You know, so many times in as teenagers, listen, I think sometimes the reason why we never really follow through with decisions is we think it should happen straight away. You know, I was 16. I was actually here in Queensland. I was over at a conference in Kippering, out there near Redcliffe. And we were here for a summer conference. And I had never done a Queensland summer. Everyone warned me about it. And if you know it, we love our winters, but summer can be brutal, right? Humid, all of that. It was hot. But we would have youth after all of the three sessions. There was no such thing as split sessions. And we show you mercy, right, this generation. It used to be you did the three sessions in the morning, and then what happened was in the afternoon, in the middle of all that, pay attention, in the middle of all of that, we would be in a tin shed in the middle of the property in the beating hot sun, and we'd be sweating, and that's when we would have teens. And it would last for an hour and a half. And, you know, we'd have preaching, we'd have songs, we'd have games, all of that. But we were hot. But it was in meetings like that where God started to get my attention about my future. Started to speak to me about certain things. Started to get my attention. And it was like he was casting a mantle. And I was starting to get a picture of, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do? And it was in here in Queensland, as a 16-year-old, God decided to burn in my heart about preaching, about studying his word and preparing to. And, you know, I'll tell you, I got so excited. When I got home in Sydney, I gave a testimony. I just said it out loud. I don't know why. I said, by God's grace, I'm going to be the next youth pastor of this church. And I didn't even know if I meant it, but I said it. I just got so excited. It just was on my heart. I just said it. And next thing you know it, 19, 20, and at the age of 20, my pastor pulls me into his office and says, I want you to think about and pray about being the next youth pastor of this church. I didn't know. And there it was. The mantle came to me, but it was a distance. And this is the point that Elijah was making to Elisha. What is it to me? Yeah, you've got time, is what he was saying. But get, this is what, I'm trying to get your attention, Elisha. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now I say all of that to say that later on, go now to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And now later on, many, many years later, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So that continued, that preparation. And notice what happened. Elijah keeps telling him, no, stay here. Stay here, I'm going to go over there. Elisha keeps saying, no, I'm going to go with you. And then later on, in verse 8, notice again, and Elijah took his mantle, there it is again, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. So there's power in the calling in this position. And he asked a question, Elisha asked a question, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, so Elijah asks this, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from here. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them in two pieces. And that was a sign of mourning in the day. And notice verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. You know, what happened was eventually God did give the mantle, the office to Elisha. But Elisha had to take it back then. He had to take it when it was initially. And you know, there's going to be things this week that God's going to put in your heart initially. And it won't come to be when it's time. But I'll tell you now, you won't take it then if you won't take it now. If you won't take seriously the casting off to you, you're not going to fulfill it then. And, you know, I want to tell you this. I hope that you all are seeking God's will for your life. I hope you're not so foolish to think that you'll just do whatever you want. And you can, but I'll tell you now, you won't be satisfied. I'll tell you now, the plans that I had, I'm glad it didn't happen. Because my plans were far shorter and far less than the plans that God had for me. And here was Elisha just doing his thing. And here's a couple of reasons. I want to talk about, firstly, the earthly mantle. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, why would God choose me? Well, why would God speak to me? Why would God even... And I want to give you a couple of characteristics that Elisha had. I think you would do well for us to consider so that you could be the guy. You could be the young lady. And I hope that you would desire that. I hope that you would desire that God would speak to you. I hope that you would desire that there's a perfect will of God for you that you can seek and you can know. I hope that you would desire that maybe someday you could do something for God. And it would be such a great thing that another generation would rise up maybe even in my office and take that on and take it to greater heights. I'm telling you, I'm going to sit in heaven and not feel like, oh, wow, how come you didn't use me that way, God? Listen, I want the next generation to be used greater. I want you guys to do greater things. I want, like Elisha had for you, a double portion. I want to see some of you get to a place where you find God's will and you want to take it and you won't be satisfied until you see it and you'll just stick with it and you'll see it through and you'll see something great done for God. And some of you need to wake up this morning and just understand that life is a little bit more than you realized. That it's not just some signals on a screen that you've achieved. No, listen, life is much more for the Christian. Life is much more. And you could do much more. And you could be much more. And you shouldn't just sit by and just not understand that somehow, some way, God might see something in you. Notice a couple of things, and we're going to call this the earthly mantle, because really, at the end, the mantle wasn't to be yet. It was cast off. But there were some things here about Elisha that we're going to learn about. Firstly, in verse 19, we find, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen." You know, that society was agricultural. And you know what? This was simply Elisha's chore. You know what I'm going to say? The first thing that God gets, that could get God's attention in your life is this: you're just responsible. Yeah, he's just responsible. Here's Elisha. The Bible says 12 yoke of oxen. You know what that is? That's a lot of animals. Right? Who likes animals? Who doesn't like animals? Who you know, either way, doesn't matter. Who likes to eat animals? All right.
Yes, two hands. All right.
So he was responsible, and I'll tell you what, this was hard. You know, who has chores? To be honest, who has chores at home? All right, who's dishes? Dishes is your chores. Ironing. Mowing. All right, setting up the dinner table. All right, that's just everyone, you just do all of it. All right, so some of the eldest, they're like, yeah, I do everything, you know. But chores, sometimes we look at that and go, well, what's the big deal? You know what that is? It's teaching you responsibility. And for Elisha, he was just faithful in the things that were little. He was responsible. You know, I actually grew up. I was born in the Philippines, and we lived on a farm. And I'll tell you, it's hard to drive a cart with an animal. I thought it was easy. My uncles made it look easy. And I was about 4 years old, and I was watching them do it. And you know, they would hook up the animal, and they would smack it, right? They would smack the backside of that animal, and somehow they would let it, they'd say something, and it'd just drive them, and it'd drive that cart, it'd pull it. So I thought I could do that. So one day I decided to ride with my uncle, and, you know, he wasn't quite there yet. He had set up the cart. We had what we called carabaos. They're water buffaloes, right? So water buffalo was our beast of burden. And so there was pulling the, it was already hooked up to the cart. And I decided, you know, this looks easy. So I used my hand and I smacked the backside of that water buffalo. And I said, yeah, you know, in a real, yeah, as a 4-year-old. And it didn't move. So I did it again and with a lot more gusto, yeah, you know. And then it didn't move. And you know, what it did, though, was it slapped me back. It has a tail and it smacked me across the face. And I said, no, this isn't me. I couldn't do it. But you know, maybe you're complaining about your chore, thinking like, oh, I don't want to do this. And God might be looking at you going, You know, because the Bible tells us that if you're going to be faithful in much, you're going to be faithful in little. You know, some of you've got grand dreams, and maybe already you've got a desire for God. I want to tell you, it starts with the earthly mantle. You know what that takes? Responsibility. Just be responsible for the things that you're responsible for. Take the time. And here, Elisha was found doing. He wasn't found intending. He was found doing. You know, sometimes you're asked to do something and you don't particularly like it. I'm sure it wouldn't have been that easy to drive 12 yoke of oxen, but he was responsible. But then the next thing I see, verse 20, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." You know what I see there also? Not only was Elisha responsible, Elisha was also, secondly, respectful. You know, he didn't see this opportunity and forget about. No, he wanted to follow the custom of the day. And the custom of the day was, if you're going to go off and do what you're supposed to do, you honor your parents first. And he honored them. He respected them. And you know where the downfall is sometimes in how God can communicate to you, the hindrance is this: you just don't have a good respect for your folks. You're disrespectful. You don't speak to them kindly. The Bible tells us that you ought to obey and honor your mother and father. That is a command with promise, that thou shalt live long on this earth. But listen, that is a command of God. And too many times we take that for granted. You know, in our day where it seems like just not listening to anyone is cool, like somehow you're some cool rebel. Listen, God doesn't see it that way. God sees you as foolish. And God might be trying to get your attention, but you're hindering him, because actually your honoring and your respect is not there. You know, one of the things that God worked me over, and I've said this before, I was a real hard-headed kid. Just hard-headed. And you know, the things that actually, the times when God did speak to me was when I got things right. I would go home, and maybe after a service, and I would go home and I'd apologize. You know, when was the last time you've apologized for your lack of good behavior? You know what that is? It's humility. Well, when was the last time you just woke up with that attitude that, you know, today I'm gonna be a blessing to my mom and dad. I'm gonna be a blessing to the ones who help me each day, provide for me, and the ones that God gave me. You know, he was respectful. But then what I see, verse 21, not only was he responsible, respectful, we see verse 21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them. All of that was to, again, honor. And he gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then notice this: then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. The last thing for this earthly mantle is this: he was responsive. You know, this there's a culture that I think is so wrong today. Pastor Skelly mentioned it, non-participation. You know what you guys call it? Nonchalant. Right, nonchalant. Oh, I just want to look nonchalant. No, listen. You just look like you have a bad mood. All right? That's what it is. It's a bad attitude. It's not a godly one. To sort of look nonchalant and like you're disconnected with things, that is not God's way. And, you know, so many times God's going to try to knock on the door of your heart. And maybe it is that you're supposed to respond to that. But because we're just in the culture and the habit of just being nonchalant, I don't want to look too emotional. I don't want to look too excited. I don't want to look like anything. No, you just look like you're in a bad mood. All right? Listen, that is not godly. That is not it. You're supposed to. And, you know, I think about Samuel. How he was in the temple, and even as a young boy, God called to him three times, and Samuel's response was, "Here am I, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And I hope that you would have that attitude of responsiveness. You know, don't come to church, and don't come and approach the eternal word of God, the living word of God, and just go, "Well, she's got to, I don't even want to bring my Bible. Who cares? Oh, why does he have to get on my back about that? Oh, what is he?" Listen, we're trying to help you. We're trying to help you understand. That's God's way. If you want those mantles that mean anything, that's supposed to do something, that's supposed to last for eternity, listen, all of that won't come to be if you won't have just a respect for the earthly mantles that God's given you. Those things that are already for you. How's your responsibility? You think you're responsible? Do you do that well? Is that excellent? Is that something? Would you drive 12 oxen if that was your chore? Are you respectful? Do you understand that whilst perhaps it's a way you're supposed to head, the way you're supposed to head is also to celebrate and to honor and to respect mom and dad? Maybe that's a hindrance in your life. Or maybe it just could be this, that you're just not even responsive. Like someone drove past and someone smacked you in the face with a mantle and you're just like, eh. Man, get over it. Get over yourself. Nonchalant. What's that? That is not godly. It's not even cool. You just look like you're in a bad mood. All right? Like, just really. Maybe smile a bit and maybe, like, live life and maybe have some joy. Hey, listen, if you claim yourself to be a Christian, that is a Christian life. It's joy. It's gladness. It's peace in the time of storm. It's all of that. Listen, responsive. And so he had to get the earthly mantle, but then really quickly, he had the heavenly mantle. Because we read there in 2 Kings chapter 2 that later on, when it was time, he was able to receive it. And what we find about Elisha was that it was just real. You know, I liked what Pastor Skelly said this morning, and sort of goes into, I'm going to teach this in TNS a little bit. But you know, we have this, and I'm guilty of it too. I love it when young people make decisions. But I've been in youth ministry and in ministry long enough that I get excited, but I'm not as excited as I used to. Because talk is cheap. You could talk all you want about, you know, what God is doing in your life. And I'm glad, and I'll listen to you. But listen, show me. Show me. I walk around like, you know, you're the coolest thing on earth, and then you know, suddenly, oh, God's got a calling on my life, and I know, I figured it out. Listen, talk is cheap. You can talk all you want, but show me by your actions. And you know what we find about Elisha? Not only did he receive that mantle, that earthly mantle, he was responsible, respectful, he was responsive, but he had a real allegiance. You know, he really went with it. He didn't depart from the faith. He made it his life. He departed. He went with Elijah. But he continued. Even when Elijah himself said, no, just stay there. He said, no, I want to be as close to you, Elijah. And it wasn't just because he was the man of God and all of that. No, really, he represented something. And we'll get to that in a bit. But he had a real allegiance. Secondly, he had a real aspiration. You know, it wasn't just that it was just getting by. The Bible tells us he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, if you look at what Elijah did, he did some pretty amazing things. And here was Elisha going, no, I want double of that. I want two. I want more. And listen, some of you need to stop just existing in your churches and existing in your homes. You need to ask for more. You need to say, God, let me do more. God, I'm... thank you for what this generation is about. I want to do more. You know, sometimes we're an ungodly satisfied. And here's what I mean by that. God actually has more for you, but you're just content to do the minimum. You know, Jesus taught this. Don't go the first mile, the requirement. Go the twain mile, the second mile. And sometimes I see an attitude in youth that goes, well, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm glad for that, but listen, there's more in the Christian life. And the mantle that is heavenly is this. You have a real aspiration. Man, I want to win all my friends to the Lord. Man, I want to see our youth group be on fire, and I want to see our church go to the next level, and I want to see God do more. And I'm excited about the things that God can do, not God what God has already done. And that was Elisha. He also had a real acceptance, because when it came to it, he took it. He took it. You know, Elijah went up on that chariot of fire and that mantle just drifted down. And you know, the Bible tells us Elisha in verse 13 took the mantle. You know, when it's your turn, it'll be your turn. I can never forget my pastor and I back in Sydney. We had a plan. And he knew, and I knew that I was supposed to eventually become the pastor of the church. So we had a 5-year plan. And he and I talked about it a lot. In fact, we were flying over Brisbane when we concocted this plan, not knowing I was going to live here, but we had a 5-year plan. I remember sitting there one day, he called me into his office and he said, there's been a situation. There's a sickness. My wife is not well. And he goes, I need you to start to really think about being the pastor of the church. And this was 2 years into our 5-year plan. And suddenly I find myself as a 30-year-old, 10 years in the youth ministry. And here we were. I was the pastor. And it was time. And I know the ladies need to be in here for their session. My wife's going to teach. So the ladies, you'll stay in here. Us guys, we're going to go. But he had a real also agency. And here's what I want to tell you. Because at the end, in verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" You know what he found? At the end of it, as he followed and as he understood the mantle, he understood that it was about God. And the real agency, the real one that made all the difference wasn't the mantle. It's not the calling, guys. It's not the direction. It's who's at the end of that and who's with you right now. It's God. And listen, walk with God. If you just follow God, you will be responsible. If you just follow God and love him like you should, you will be respectful. If you just follow God, you will be responsible. If you just follow God, you will have a real allegiance. If you just follow God, you will have a real acceptance. If you just follow God, you will have a real aspiration. But you've got to follow God. And Elisha got to do, and if you look at it biblically, historically, Elisha did twice as much as Elijah did, literally. And there's some here in this room, God could use you much more. But you're not looking for mantles. You're looking for the wrong ones. God's trying to get you, he's trying to cast off a mantle to you and you won't take it. And listen, maybe there's some hindrances. Maybe there's just a lack of responsibility. Maybe there's a lack of, and I want to tell you that if you just bring that over to God and just say, "Lord, I just want to follow you," then all of those will come and then you're going to find that there is a God. And there is a God who's willing to use you in a greater way. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you for the attention that these young adults, these young people gave. I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Lord, this week you're going to speak to them about many things. Help them to be responsive. Help them, Lord, as they maybe are casting some mantles toward them that they'd understand. And I pray that you'd free them from this culture of a lack of participation, a lack of response. And help them, Lord, to be engaged through the course of this week. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Ladies, you stay here. Men, follow Brock. You're going to go over. Pastor Fisher's going to be over there. Bring your Bibles. And appreciate you guys listening. Thank you.